You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time to find out
what Shane,
what Shane said. With Shane Manila.
Welcome to episode 5 of Shane Says. Just wanted to dig into some of the critiques from last week's episode. If you haven't watched last week's episode, please go to the Destination Devi YouTube channel, probably the one you're on right now. Click on my face. I assume it's my face. And go watch episode 4. Just going to discuss that real quick. Got a couple criticisms or critiques, I should say. From last week's show, and I thought it's important to look at some of those, the valid ones at least. One of the things, or at least the biggest criticism I think, was that the data set was too small because it was only 60 players. I will say 60 players is probably a little small to draw any final conclusions from. I was just trying to draw some takeaways or take some takeaways from the data. But just as a point of reference, the reason that we used 60 players is because I can only find mock draft data for Superflex rookie drafts going back to 5 years using DLF, who I think is the most reputable site to use for that, at least as of now. In the future, I would tell you that Destination Devi will be the spot you'll want to go to, because we are doing tons of mock drafts, bro. Just nonstop. If you're not a patron, you might have seen some of my mock drafts that I'm sending out via the X Twitter. But yeah, man, we knock out mock drafts nonstop, dozens a month. So the data is tight. Anywho. That's why I was only able to use 5 years worth of data. And I really wanted to focus on first round draft picks because I think that's what everybody's excited for in the draft. And I think history shows that those are the picks that make the difference in leagues. So that is, again, why I only went back 5 years and why I only used first round picks. One other thing that someone noted, or at least one person noted, is that I probably should have looked at two seasons, top 24 seasons, not just top 12 seasons. So QB2, wide receiver 2, running back 2, tight end 2 seasons. So I said, sure, let me do that. Now, I need you to know, just because I did it doesn't mean I agree with you. I don't believe I know, and we all can agree that a tight end 2 season is meaningless. It is pretty, pretty, pretty meaningless. A QB2 season, I don't find that particularly impactful either. Running back 2 season, same thing. Wide receiver 2 season, maybe a little more impactful, but not really. Again, we're looking at the high end. That's what I was looking at. But just to make people happy, because I'm a people pleaser, that's what I did as I went back and looked at the data for the top 24, not just the top 12. Just a quick recap of what I found last week, and I'll keep this as brief as possible. What I found is that out of the 60 players drafted in the first round over the last 5 years, 25 of those players had provided top 12 seasons. 42% hit rate. And also because I'm a little bit of a time whore. We'll get back to that a little later. Of those top 12 seasons, 13 players did it in their rookie season and 10 of the players did it in their second season. So in total, 23 of 25 players had a top 12 season in their first two seasons. 23 of the 25 players that provided a top 12 season did so in their first 2 years. That's 92%. Let's get back to the two seasons, QB2, RB2, wide receiver 2, and tight end 2 seasons. And just as a frame of reference, we won't be talking about tight ends for too much longer in this particular episode. So the numbers did increase, obviously, or maybe not obviously, intuitively. Maybe that's not the right word either. But either way, the numbers increased of the 60 players drafted over the past 5 years based on that ADP. 34 players provided at least one top 12 season, which would be 57%, which is more than 42%, in case you were wondering. And again, I'm a time whore, so it's just curious. 17 of these players did this, hit this mark, the top 24 mark in their rookie season. Another 15 did it in their second season. So in total, that's a 32 out of 34 of the players that provided a top 24 season out of the last 5 years did so in their first two seasons. That would be 94%. So very high. Another criticism, and this kind of leads right into that criticism that I heard, is, well, you're not giving these players enough time. There might be players that played, you know, in the past, for example, there might have been a Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, that played for several years, 3 to 4, 5 years before they hit their first top 12 season. So I disagree with that notion, right? I'm big on a Maya Angelou quote, and I'm sure that most of you know this. If you don't, read some Maya Angelou. It's good for you. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. It's a great quote. You see that quote a lot on a dating apps. A lot on dating apps by people that have been scorned and sound like they're a little upset that they didn't take heed the warning signs. But you know what? You don't just heed warning signs in your personal life. You should heed warning signs everywhere you are. Not just warning signs, right? I believe personally that if someone's elite in fantasy, they show you that they're elite and they show you that quickly. And I've done research on this in the past. I haven't done it in a while. So I can't just go back citing stuff that I did 3 years ago because a lot of things happened in 3 years. So what I did is I asked our data genius, JB, Jordan Backus, really, really smart guy, asked him to pull every QB one, wide receiver one, and running back one over the last 4 years. So that gives you a data set of 144 players just for funsies. I wanted to see how many of these players were individual. Basically, how many players did this just once versus how many players had done this on multiple occasions. I found that interesting, and maybe that's something I can talk about at a later date. But 77 separate players. It was 77 players that provided the 144 instances of top 12 production at those three positions. Interesting to me. I don't know if it's interesting to you. The breakdown was there was 28 running backs, 25 wide receivers, and 24 quarterbacks. Okay, so now is where we're going to get into the data. And again, what we're looking at is the players that are elite, top 12 players. When did they first hit top 12 seasons? That's what we're looking at. Let's say that again. Because again, I sometimes I don't even make sense in my own head when I'm saying it out loud. What we're trying to figure out is, when do elite players first hit top 12 seasons? Basically, when do elite players become elite? When do we know they're elite? Is it after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? That's what I was trying to determine, or at least get some feeling of looking at this data. So what I found is, 25 of the players that have provided a top 12 season over the past four seasons had done so in their rookie seasons, 32%. Found that another 22 players that had provided at least one top 12 season over the last 4 years had done so in their second season. You total that up, that's 61% of the players that have provided a top 12 season over the past four seasons did so in either their first or second season. I think that's pretty high. That means you know quickly if a player is going to be elite, or if they're going to be elite, I should say, they show you quickly that they're going to be elite within the first 2 years. After that, we had 18 players that provided at least one top 12 season. They did so for the first time in their third season. And then, finally, there was the other category. There's always an other category. There were 12 players that provided at least one top 12 season during the stretch that did so in the fourth year or later of their career. There are some players, like I said, in a fourth year or later, Antonio Brown, Tyler Lockett, Adam Thielen, just a couple of the players. Will Fuller, I believe, off the top of my head, but it was definitely Antonio Brown, Adam Thielen were players that have done it in the fourth year or later. They had their first top 12 season. What I noticed putting this data together is that not all positions were created equal. Like I said, as I went through this, it was clear to me that the wide receivers in this data set that had provided you a top 12 season during these 4 years, most of these players, a significant majority of these players, did not do so in their first or second years, did not provide you wide receiver one seasons in either their first or second years, which was surprising to me. In fact, only 28% of the wide receivers in this data set of these players, these 25 players, provided you a wide receiver one season in either their rookie or their second season. Just 28%. I was dumbfounded and agog at that. Again, just 28% of these 25 wide receivers that have provided you a top 12 season over the last 4 years, that's 48 instances, had done so within their first 2 years. A little shocking to me, not going to lie. What I found is that apparently the third-year breakout is still a thing, at least when it comes to the elite level, the top 12 level of wide receivers. And if we're being honest, this is what matters, is top 12 production. 13 through 24, 13 through 40 is replaceable. Obviously, 13 and 40 are completely different. If you don't understand what I mean by they're replaceable and why I'm putting those ranges together, hit me up. We'll talk later. But the real needle movers, I should say, real needle movers are top 12 production. And honestly, if you want to get in a little deeper than that, you could say it's probably top six. But either way, top 12 production, that's what we're going off of because we want to keep this data set as big as possible. Go back to it one more time. Just 28% of the wide receivers in this study, I'll call it a study, sure, in this data set were able to provide top 12 seasons in their first or second season. 52% of the players in this data set, wide receivers in this data set, provided a wide receiver one season in their third year. So the third year breakout is still a thing. Just to scratch, itch, fix my own curiosity, I was just wondering, well, if I looked at wide receiver two seasons, would that have a significant difference? Meaning, do maybe wide receivers hit wide receiver two seasons at a higher rate during their first or second years? And they do. Within their first two seasons, the 17 of these 25 wide receivers had provided at least a top 24 season. So it looks like top 24 seasons, it is an indication, or I should say wide receivers get there earlier, at least in this data set. Not the first 2 years for wide receiver one seasons, but the first 2 years for wide receiver 24 seasons, it's pretty high rate. 17 of 25. Whatever the math is on that, I should probably know since I'm making you watch. So 17 divided by 25 is 68%. 68% of the wide receiver twos hit that mark in either their first or second season in this data set. I thought that was interesting, especially when you look at the other positions. When you look at quarterbacks, 75% of the players that gave you a QB1 season, a top 12 season over the last 4 years, had done so within their first 2 years. It's a pretty high number. 75%, 3 out of 4, but let's not just throw random numbers because it'll just confuse people. There are 24 quarterbacks that provided the 48 top 12 seasons over the last 4 years. 75% of those players provided a top 12 season within their first two seasons. Next up on this list is running backs. We did quarterbacks, did wide receivers. Now it's our friends at running backs. There were 28 running backs over the last 4 years that have provided a top 12 season for you. Out of that, 69% of those running backs did so in their first two seasons. So again, running back and quarterback, they are hitting their top 12 seasons early in their career, very early in their career, their first two seasons. You almost know immediately if a quarterback or a running back is going to be elite, or I should say they immediately produce at an elite level. Whereas wide receivers, takes them a little warming up. First two seasons, like I said, kind of low. just 28% hit that mark their first two seasons, wide receiver one seasons, but they really warm up in that third season. 52% of the players that provided you a top 12 season at the wide receiver position over the last 4 years did so in their third season. Pretty cool, I guess. So maybe I should, I don't want to say be a little more patient with wide receivers, but maybe I should be a little more patient with wide receivers. Now, mind you, I'm not talking about wide receivers like J-Mo. I'm not talking about wide receivers like Treylon Burks. I'm not talking about wide receivers like JSN. I'm not talking about wide receivers that had scored 9 points a game, 8 points a game, below that, etc. This wasn't even in the data set. This was just something that I wanted to look at just to see because I thought it was interesting. But of the list of players here that had provided you top 12 seasons, and again, that was 77 separate players that provided you these top 12 seasons. On average, those players each averaged 3.3 top 12 seasons. I don't know what that means. Just thought it was interesting. So I decided that I noticed it and I was going to share it with you. And maybe if one of you can find a takeaway from that or what that could mean, sure, let me know. Anywho, in general, elite players do show you early that they're going to be elite, or that they at least produce early. Their first 2 years, they produce at an elite level, a top 12 level. But again, that is skewed towards the running backs who do so in this data set. 75% of the players that provided you a top 12 season did so in their first 2 years. Running backs, it was 69% of these players that provided you a top 12 season did so within their first 2 years. And then wide receivers, significantly lower at 28%. But wide receivers do provide you a high wide receiver one rate at the third year in the data set. Again, there were 25 wide receivers. And of that 25 wide receivers, excuse me, just 28% that provided a wide receiver one season did so within the first two seasons, but 17 of 25 provided you at least a wide receiver two or better season. So, like I said, maybe I need to expand at least the range or the time that I'm willing to give a wide receiver if they show signs. You know, again, I'm not talking about the J-Mos. I'm not talking about the Treylon Burks. I'm not talking about the wide receivers, Quentin Johnston. I'm not talking about wide receivers that produce at levels that show you that they're probably going to be very bad in fantasy. So that's really all the takeaways I have this week. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Let me know what you think in the comments, and I look forward to speaking to each and every one of you. Later.